The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Well, there's an Irish flavour to the Radio Today programme this week. I'm in Dublin. I wanted to find out more about what the ecology of Irish radio is like, so I've enlisted the help of two denizens of the Irish airwaves. John Clarke is here. He's the host of Ireland's biggest jukebox on RTE 2 FM, but he used to run the entire station. And Declan Meehan is here. He does the morning show on East Coast FM and also Sunday mornings on Today FM, so they're very well qualified to tell me what is the difference between the radio sector in Britain and the radio business in Ireland, because on the face of it they're not dissimilar. You've got RTE, a bit like the BBC, although it takes adverts, and then you've got a commercial sector. So do they feel roughly the same? John?
They are the same as far as what's available by way of choice. There's one major difference: the volume of stations we have per capita, whereas the amount of stations we have in Ireland compared to, say, Manchester, there's three or four. Here, you've got what? The guts of 40 stations? All competing for an audience of 4.5 million. That's a huge difference.
And why do you think, Declan, that you can sustain so many stations? Because in the UK, we're going through a period of consolidation where the impetus is towards, you know, fewer and fewer groups running, you know, virtually all the stations.
I think essentially the biggest difference between here and the UK, certainly in the commercial radio stations, is there is a requirement that 20% of the output is news and current affairs. I don't think you have that in the UK.
No, and if we did, I'd have to say a lot of commercial owners would cavil against it, and they would go to Ofcom and demand that they...
But it's very interesting that radio stations throughout the country will use the talk element as a plus, because in that way they can reach their audience, therefore get the figures, and therefore sell it.
Because the show you do on East Coast is an all-speech morning show which follows straight after a music breakfast show. Now, that breaks the rules, doesn't it? What the consultants would say is you can't do that.
You can do it if it's in your promise of performance. You've got to do it. And you've got to do it between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So it is a requirement. So the consultants will say, well, where's best to put that? And it has been common consensus across the radio stations that the morning time to follow the breakfast show is the natural time.
And do you feel when you're doing that show that you're keeping the breakfast audience, or are you looking for a different bunch of people in Wicklow?
Well, I think there's a feeling of stationality, so you're following from the previous programme. However, you can feel that your programme is separate to the radio station, because it's reaching out to the audience in a different way than the entertainment values that might be there at the breakfast show.
So, John, at RTE 2 FM, we used to describe, probably wrongly, but we used to call it Ireland's Radio 1. Was that ever true, and is it true now?
It was set up to be perhaps a mirror image of BBC Radio 1, but its initial schedule was All Things to All People. Because it was a public service broadcaster, it needed to be more than just a jukebox playing music. And they had all sorts of programmes on it. They didn't work. And then they had to retune and reschedule and focus more on music and a specific genre of music, as opposed to having jazz programmes, Cayley music programmes, country music as well, right? But getting back to that previous point that Declan was making, that you were saying, does it interfere having talk after a breakfast show? That's the difference between, say, here and the UK as well. There's less commuting time. So the breakfast show, although important, the prime time in Irish radio is actually between 9 and 12 and not 7 and 9. So that is a uniqueness for Ireland. And also the availability of, say, the female audience is there between 9 and 12 in droves.
It's also interesting, and we were talking about this earlier, that the most successful radio station in the UK is BBC Radio 2, which of course also breaks those rules. You know, it follows every show with something that's different from the one that went before it.
But I think if you think of stations in times past, they were a lot of all things to all people, and they weren't narrow casting. I think narrow casting has come in with radio doctors and people from Australia and people from New Zealand who seem to think they know the British and the UK market better than we do. That I would just think that you can be all things to all people, provided you have a standard of quality that goes across 24 hours.
And although I do a small bit for Today FM, it's not an opportunity just to plug them, but they do have such a variation of programmes that no radio consultant would ever set up Today FM today. But I think people buy into the brand and they buy into what the station is. So if it's on that station, oh, it must be good.
So you have national radio, which is RTE, and some commercial stations today in News Talk. How many?
We've about six national commercials. National radio stations. We've got three from RTE, four from RTE. We've got Radio 1, 2FM, Lyric and Orna G. And then you have the two commercial ones, which is Today FM and News Talk. So you've got six national radio stations.
And then you've got some regionals like the one you're on.
No, we're just a county radio station. Okay. But there are
feels
stations.
Regional to me.
Yeah,
it's not a city centre
well, it
station,
spills over, thankfully. But there is a radio station called iRadio, which goes from the west coast right across to the east coast in the northern part of the country. There is Beat coming out of Waterford, which is several counties. So there's regional stations, just Spin Southwest, which takes up most of Munster. So there are regional, that's the next layer up.
And what's the relationship like between the state broadcaster and the commercial upstarts? I mean, you two obviously know each other and get on okay. Mm. As an industry, do you work together, both sides?
I think they've started to work together for commercial gain in recent times. And there's been a structured sort of targeting of advertisers because we both need advertisers. So there is a synergy that both are looking for the money from the same pot. So they decided there isn't an enemy here, that we have to work together to get revenue in.
However, there is a suspicion that RTE uses its licence fee money that we all have to actually contribute to actually do us down. So I could say that RTE, say, promoting a programme that's on at the same time as me on East Coast, is actually using my contribution to the licence fee to put me out of a job. So there is that suspicion.
You're sort of spanning two sides of an awkward thing here, aren't you, John? You know, being on the one hand licence fee funded, on the other hand needing to make money. I mean,
yes.
Do you make money? Do the stations actually make money?
Well, we're not supposed to make money. On a yearly basis, we're supposed to break even. They don't, which is, that's the odd thing
they
about
They lose
it.
Money.
They use, well, sometimes, they're currently losing money. They are currently losing money.
Okay.
But the dual funding...
I just don't get capitalism at all.
No, but the dual funding came about when there was a single entity in the marketplace, which was RTE. It was the public service broadcaster set up to supply a radio and television service. There wasn't an independent sector. The money wasn't in the country, again, relating back to 4.5 million people, to sustain what offerings that the people wanted and RTE wanted. So there was a need for dual funding, and dual funding has existed even though the commercial market has exploded in recent years. And if you look at the percentage of audience that is being delivered to the commercial market, we don't have a dominant position anymore. So, you know, you might say, why then are they getting all the licence fee money? Because all the independent radio stations are doing public service broadcasting at certain times during the day.
By legislation.
By legislation, yes.
I know, and I'm making RTE's argument for them and other people who might criticise giving some funding from the licence fee to independent radio. You knew what you were getting into when you applied for the licence, that there would be that commitment to spend expensively on public service broadcasting.
It must be quite hard, John, when you're working for RTE and you're planning a programme or a schedule, to think, am I doing this just because it's going to be a good programme, or am I doing it because it will make some money because advertisers will be attracted to it?
I'd say there are two different definitions. I think for Radio 1, it's definitely public service broadcasting. 2FM, it's a commercial radio station within a public service organisation. And, you know, by and large, the programmes it makes, say 7 to 7, when the commercial revenue is there, it's making them for the commercial market to buy. And okay, it's a bit of a cliche, you know, you make your money daytime, you make your reputation at night time. So I mean, post 7 o'clock, we always had a diversity of programmes that, by and large, cost money to make but never gave us good audience.
You're connected to the Radio Today programme from Radio Today. I should mention at this point that there is, of course, an Irish version of Radio Today. It is radiotoday.ie. So as well as radiotoday.co.uk, you can catch up with all the news and all the gossip about Irish radio by visiting that site. The editor of both is Roy Martin. Here's his roundup of this week's radio news.
The Radio Today programme.
And the top stories this week. Staff at Smooth Radio are on the move to Global Radio. It's the first stage of the migration between the former GMG radio stations and Global Radio since the latter bought the former in July 2012. It does mean some job losses in Manchester and London as Smooth Radio comes under the control of Global. The Sonys are no more. The sponsor of the annual Radio Academy Awards has ended its contract after a good run of 32 years. The search is on for a new sponsor, and we've got a few cheeky suggestions in the latest edition of the Radio Industry e-zine at radiotoday.co.uk/eradio. You can also read a blog from the awards chair John Myers on the situation. And the Radio Today programme sponsor Audioboo is doing particularly well at the moment, having had a day in July where 1 million boos were played in a 24-hour period. Well done to them. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audio Boo, sharing voices with the world.
Thank you, Roy. I'm here in Ireland this week with John Clark from RTE and Declan Meehan from East Coast FM and Today FM. We're talking about the ecology of Irish radio. Sorry to use the D word, but here we go. DAB, digital radio. How does that work? We, I think, by common consent, haven't made a great job of it in the UK. How are you doing?
Okay, it's there. How well it's doing? It's there as a service, an extension to what we currently do. The commercial market didn't get involved in it. We've got channels on the DAB service. We don't know what the penetration is. And because of the economy of scale, there isn't a great financial investment in it. That said, What are they?
We have 2XM is one of them.
2XM, we have an RTE Gold, we have a Pulse, Radio 1 Extra, and Radio 1 Junior. So
are they proper 24/7 stations?
24/7, and basically, you know, it's also an economy scale by way of staffing. It's probably an editor who's doing the programming, and that's it.
But commercial radio is not on board, Declan.
Well, it came at a particular time when, by legislation again, radio stations in the country, commercial stations, had to change their linking system from analogue to digital, which was a huge investment and, of course, no licence fee. And then it came to, oh, guys, invest in this DAB. How are RTE funding it? Oh, well, they'll just get it from the licence fee. We've no licence fee. So it has to come out of our profits. We've got this levy to the broadcasting authority. We've got to invest in this new digital equipment for linking. Hey, hold on a second. You know, and there's no guarantee, based on the UK experience, that it's actually going to work. So, no, we'll wait on that one.
And you're using DAB, not DAB Plus?
No, it's just simple DAB.
Okay, and you, as yet you have no idea whether anyone's listening to it?
Well, we sort of get figures by way of hits, and the technical people tell me that the Gold one is the one that gets the most hits. It even sort of outperforms one of the other stations that's available on FM. Which one? I leave it.
Because what the BBC what the BBC discovered was that the way to get lots of listeners was to threaten to close one of them down, Six Music. So
if that was a marketing ploy, it'd work extremely well. I don't believe it was.
Maybe you should try it. So what about syndication then, which is happening a lot on our side of the Irish Sea? Do you do any of that, Declan?
There is some small syndication. I think Ryan Seacrest has been run by 98FM. I don't really think there's anything else going on. There were some independent production companies that were making various programmes. I don't know if the Irish one is still on, John. Is it? There's an Irish Top 40. Or what that does, I'll give you a little story about this. The Top 40 was being played in Irish, so it fulfilled an Irish commitment that you have to do because of your Irish language, because of your promise of performance. However, you also have a promise of performance with music. So if you have a block of the top 40 current songs, for that day, you are interfering with your promise of performance for doing a wide range of music. So there's a conflict immediately of all this top 40 music on your station that's supposed to be varied, and then the Irish language. So many stations around the country got into trouble for playing the syndicated programme of the top 40.
But you don't have the sort of thing that we've got a lot now, where you've got Capital Radio, which is actually many stations, and Heart and all that kind of thing. Where
oh, you mean rebroadcasting of the home channel?
Yeah, across where you your breakfast show.
We don't essentially have that, no. Maybe we're just too small of a country.
Might that come if there is more consolidation of ownership?
It's starting with the consolidation, because some of the brands like the iRadios and the Spins, I know Spin syndicate their Dublin's programming in the morning. Don't they?
Nikki Hayes,
is on dual programs. She's the only one. I think it will evolve more so with consolidation and with three or four big players. For an economy of scale, they will actually take a big name, maybe an ex-RTE person, put them locally, but put them on three channels.
Of course, a lot of the money that went into the creation of global radio in the UK is, of course, Irish. And
yes.
Bauer, when they were EMAP, used to own stations over here. Doesn't seem to be much interest from the UK companies at the moment.
Well, EMAP at the time, when they were selling, they were actually saying within the building, whether they wrote it down or not, was that dealing with two separate currencies, euro and sterling, and also two regulatory bodies, that they inherited the radio stations from Scottish Radio Holdings, and they said it's actually far too much trouble to be involved in the Irish market, especially when we're trying to do all the work in the UK. So we'll sell them off.
So within the commercial sector, Declan, who owns? I mean, some of them are owned by this. What's he called?
Well, Communicore.
Dennis O'Brien's Communicore. Today FM is owned by Communicore, one step removed, but it's still Communicore. News Talk. One thing about sharing internally in the building, because News Talk and Today FM and Phantom are in the same building, but the news services for 98 FM in Dublin, Spin in Dublin, Phantom, News Talk and Today FM are all at the same desks, basically. And that service is supplying news to the local radio stations around the country as well. So there's one basic news channel. However, when you move on to the different floors, and there's two talk programmes at the same time, one on News Talk and one on Today FM, Matt Cooper and George Hook, they fight tooth and nail for guests. And they shield people into various rooms so that the other programme doesn't see. So there is the element of competition between those radio stations on those current affairs programmes. However, the news is emanating from the same group of desks downstairs.
I was just going to ask you, John, as we said, you used to run the network, 2FM. You now do a show.
Yes.
You're the sort of Matthew Bannister of RTE. You've gone back on the air. How's that feel?
It feels very good, insofar as it's one of the reasons I got into radio in the first place. Yeah. Was my love of music. And my sort of journey through radio was as a disc jockey, producer, editor, so on and so forth. So when I was elevated to the head of a channel, it wasn't really my ambition. My ambition was actually just to get a radio show on radio. And with a bit of optimism, maybe it might be a national radio station. So it's gone full circle.
I should have told you about this, but one of the things we do on this podcast is ask you what you've been listening to. So while we listen to David Lloyd's Radio Moments, I'm going to ask you to just think of a programme each that's probably available online through some sort of listen again that you would recommend to UK listeners to sample. This is the Radio Today programme from radiotoday.ie as well as radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dann, and here is David Lloyd with his Radio Moments. Cue that jingle.
Radio Moments.
We start looking back just to this week last year and the shock announcement from Radio 1, which was covered by Radio 4.
Now, ever since Radio 1 first went on air back in 1967, it has played jingles. You know the kind of thing. Everyone's singing a line. Someone's singing a line about how good the radio station is. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. And you introduced them at Radio Caroline because you'd heard them in the United States and liked the sound of it.
Yes, the very best ones, of course, the American ones, where it started on Big L.
The Today programme swooping in on the summer story that Radio 1 was waving goodbye to sung jingles. Not that Radio 4 would ever stoop that low.
Hello and welcome to Radio 4 and a programme of sumptuous wit and amusingly light-hearted bantering chaired by...
Well, not often, anyway. And there was another BBC change this week in 1990.
Hello there. This is Jimmy Young on Radio 2 Medium Wave. And if you're wondering where all your regular Radio 2 programmes have got to, well, they're all now over on the FM wave band, where, of course, it's business as usual. Now, from August the 27th, this medium wave frequency is where you'll find your new station for sport and education. That's Radio 5. However, if you want to hear your Radio 2 favourites, then join us now by switching to the FM wave band. And if you're still puzzled by the move to FM only, send us a stamped addressed envelope and we'll send you a leaflet explaining the changes. Now, the address to which to write is BBC Radio 2 FM, Broadcasting House, London W1A 4.
BBC Radio 2, leaving its medium wave frequencies this week 23 years ago, handing them over to Radio 5, back in the days when a stamped addressed envelope was the answer to just about any question. 1924 now, and this week that year, Hull got its first radio station. Welcome 6KH. Audrey Nicholson tells of the chap in charge.
He made really, I think, quite an impression. He got a lot of talented amateurs, let's call them that, round him. And he played the piano brilliantly. Of course, that was a tremendous help. That really was the beginning. Mm. And then he wrote little scripts. We had nursery rhymes and all that sort of thing. And then at about quarter to five, he thought he'd get a bit serious. That's the word I want. Thank you so much. And he put on talks for his scouts.
Audrey Nicholson, remembering the station manager at Hull's 6KH, which turned on the valves this week in 1924.
If you're going to San Francisco.
This week in 67, the summer of flower power was well underway, and as most of the pirate stations closed under the government's fist, Johnny Walker clinked his glass on board Caroline.
And we in turn recognise your right as our listener to have freedom of choice in your radio entertainment, and of course that Radio Caroline belongs to you. It is your radio station, even though it costs you nothing. And as we enter this new phase in our broadcasting history, you naturally have our assurance that we intend to stay on the air because we belong to you and we love you. Caroline continues.
Johnny Walker continuing on Radio Caroline this week in 67 as the rest of the pirates fell silent. Imagine that, all the other music stations closed down, you're the only one left. By 1988, legal commercial radio was well and truly established, and it was experimenting with splitting its AM and FM frequencies. This week in 88, BRMB trialled gold on AM with news across on FM. And this week, that same year, Clyde tried out Clyde 2. That was a new alternate service on AM, but only at the weekends. It's 2 years now since radio lost the talents of this gentleman.
Some years I've been unconsciously assuming that God meant newspapers to be tabloid, that even the so-called quality papers were tabloids at heart.
The voice of Robert Robinson, host of Start the Week and Brain of Britain. Mr. Robinson died this week in 2011. Being on the radio when a major event happens is something you never forget. If you were on air this week 36 years ago, this is the news you'd have brought.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Prince. 15 minutes ago, I walked into the studio here in Luxembourg, and Mark Wesley imported the news on me that the Daily Mirror had confirmed to him that Elvis Presley has died in the United States of America. Well, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, that this radio station was the first radio station in Europe to ever feature the man and his music.
Radio Luxembourg, and on that same night, across on IRN...
Independent Radio News at 11, this is Tricia Ingrams. Elvis Presley is dead. He collapsed at his home in Memphis, Tennessee this evening and was dead on arrival at the city's Baptist Hospital.
I bet Tricia wishes she put the right mic up for that one. The last day in the life of Elvis Presley, as covered by radio this week in 77. Happy birthday this week to BBC One Extra. It's 11.
Oh, my God, we're here. I'm going to say welcome to One Extra, the new black music from the BBC.
BBC One Extra on air this week, 11 years ago. It's 19-year-old listeners back then, now are 30 with three kids. If you're a little older than that, Sunday lunchtimes will mean the smell of Brussels sprouts. And this on the radio.
First of all, you need plenty of wind.
Well, you've got that all right.
Jimmy Clitheroe, which ended on Radio 2 this week in 1972, after 15 years, the actor playing the part of that little lad was aged 50 by the end. Here's a story of a station that never was. This week in 1991, the winner of the only national FM commercial radio licence was announced. It was to be Showtime Radio. Yes, this week in 1991, Showtime Radio submitted the highest cash bid for that treasured FM UK licence, if the investment could be found. It wasn't, and then Classic FM came into being. So, with BBC Cleveland becoming BBC Tees this week 6 years ago, Paul Jackson quitting Capital for Australia 3 years ago, and the Wireless Group breaking into profit this week 11 years ago thanks to TalkSport and the World Cup, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thanks very much, David. I'm still here, courtesy of RTE, with John Clark and with Declan Meehan. So, something that you think a British listener might enjoy finding on a Listen Again service, or indeed live, on an Irish station. Let's start with John, who seems more confident, I have to say.
On an Irish station, not something in the UK.
No.
See, we're lost. We don't want to be unkind to our employers.
Well, I'm going to sit here till you choose one.
Or to praise our competitors. So I don't know if that really is answerable. I will say something, though.
Go on.
I think that the programme on BBC Five Live, which probably has a very small audience because of its time, is Saturday Night. Saturday Edition is an amazing programme on Five Live at 8 o'clock.
With Chris Warburton and Helen and Ollie. They're podcasters.
Yes.
Very good show. Okay, well, that wasn't quite what I had in mind, but good for you.
For me, it's a British one as well.
Go on.
Because since I got an internet radio, I can listen to BBC local radio. And some of the old war horses are still broadcasting. And somebody I admire and somebody I like is actually Keith Skews, who does a programme 10 to 1 on Radio Essex. And it's almost like a port of call that I listen to it most Sundays.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to add one. It's the morning show with Declan Meehan on East Coast FM, which you can hear on that internet.
Great taste.
It's a very good show. It's like BBC local radio used to be, in a good way, but without any terrible records by, you know, Val Dunican.
But before you leave out John Clark, John Clark finds the songs for people that we might have forgotten about, and he uses his extensive library, and it's an excellent programme.
But I'm actually lucky, getting back, I mean, fine, we're all talking about radio. I mean, I have the luxury to say, do I actually like the show I do? Yes, I do, for reasons. It's not computerised. I'm allowed to actually decide what I can pick and play.
I'll never catch on. John Clark, Declan Meehan, thank you. Thanks for having us, John. And this has been the Radio Today programme, a TDC production, and we'll have something very similar next week. And don't forget, radiotoday.ie and radiotoday.co.uk. Take care.